Genesis chapter 4.
Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and he was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought forth, or brought of the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt have rule over him. I think a lot of people we see out in the world today that are in situations, I believe they deep within their hearts they'd like to be out of those situations. I believe they ask the question, how did I get here? How did I get here? And oftentimes people explain the situation they're in by their environment. It's the environment that we have. Or it's my family. Or it's just a family tradition. Or they blame some act or some situation. But they're there in a terrible situation. And they wonder, how did I get here? How did this happen? And as we think about Christians, many times we hear the stories, and I don't think they should be sensationalized. Bad news travels fast. I believe we should be restorers,
right,
not gossips.
Right.
I believe Jesus is just as excited about a person getting back into the fold as he is anything else. And I believe God blesses those that help people in that way. But we've all come to the place sometimes that we get in a funk. We get away from the Lord and we think, how in the world did I get here? We mature in the Lord and we take care of sin the way God tells us in 1 John 1:9. We thank the Lord that we do have an advocate.
Amen.
He's our advocate. He's making intercession for us. But there is still that thought of how did we get there? And I believe in this portion of Scripture there's some thoughts, some principles that can help us avoid getting to that place. Being a used to. I used to be in church. I used to know the Lord. I used to be close to the Lord. I used to have a relationship with the Lord. And being estranged from God. And so the Bible says in Genesis 3 and verse 21, and unto Adam also and to his wife the Lord did make coats of skins and clothe them. And when sin came into the world, they knew that they were naked. God said, who told you were naked? Well, their eyes were opened. What was precious and beautiful became sinful. The Bible says in the first verse here, Adam knew his wife. Somebody would say, yeah, you should know your wife. It's not talking about that. It's talking about they came together and had a baby. And so he really knew her. And so they had a baby. Yeah, you just think about it. They were created, and God told them to reproduce, and this is the first time this happened.
Amen.
And hence the response from Eve, I got a man from the Lord.
Amen.
God gave me this. And so, she wasn't confused.
Amen.
And she got a man from the Lord. She knew what kind of baby it was.
Amen. Right?
What
Amen.
Gender.
Exactly.
Right.
And so that's not the message. You guys just got me off on the water.
Right there, bro.
But they saw the shedding of blood for their coats of skin. They saw the animal suffer. I don't like to see, you know, I go hunting and I don't see the animal suffer. I don't like to see the animal suffer. I was coming this way one night the other week and I was with Pam. I haven't shared this with Pam. I forgot. How many of you like bunny rabbits? Little fluffy bunny rabbits.
It is good.
And I we were coming across the Seven River Bridge, and I looked, and there was a rabbit in the middle of the road, and it had been clipped by a wheel, and it was bleeding, and it was flipping all around, up and down, trying its best, and it was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I'm sure somebody hit it, because you can't see a little one, but it was jumping up and down, just trying to, I mean, it kind of made me sad, you know. And but you know, it had no business being out there. But you don't like to see an animal suffer. And Adam and Eve saw Adam saw some of those same animals that he named suffer, so they could cover themselves.
Right.
And they saw blood.
Right.
Spilt. And so they understood, and they must have established because of that a place of worship. It's implied. And so these two boys bring an offering. And one is accepted. One is accepted. And one is rejected. I read in Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 24, it says, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering of fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." I'm wondering if God accepted Abel's sacrifice in this way. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." God testifying of his gifts. "And by it, he being dead yet speaketh," his testimony. Imagine the faith that Abel exhibited to offer in that way. He probably wasn't big enough. He wasn't born when those coats of skins were provided. But through the process of time, he saw his mom and dad worship the Lord with the animal sacrifices. And so Abel's offering that represented God's way, and Cain's offering represented the world's way. Disobedience. My way. No sacrifice. No shedding of blood. So I want to notice Cain's progression. What happened to him? What happened to him? We know ultimately in this chapter he murders his brother. But I want us to think about it, because I believe this is a process that we go through when we get away from the Lord. This is a process that people in the world that have no hope without the Lord, they go through a process in the worst way, because they have no alternative and they have no help. And it's great to be saved. If you're saved today, say amen. It's great to be saved. It's great to know God is in our lives. And so there's three things I see here that the scripture impressed on my heart. The first thing I see is a downtrodden spirit. Anytime you see somebody that is down and out, or going through a difficult time, there's a downtrodden spirit. There's not many people that are smiling in the world today. If you walk down the street smiling, they wonder what you're up to or what's wrong with you. And let me just tell you something. If you have Jesus in your heart, you ought to have a smile on your face.
Amen.
I'm not talking about a fake smile. I'm talking about a smile on your face. And you look much better when you smile. I have to look at you all on Sunday morning. Some of you don't smile the whole time. It's scary. Don't let your face freeze that way. I still love you. A downtrodden spirit. Notice, he was angry. He was angry, it says there. Look at verse 5. But he was wroth. He was ticked off. He was mad, and his countenance fell. His anger was misplaced. He wasn't mad at himself. You see that by the outcome. He wasn't upset at himself. I submit he was probably upset at God.
Wow.
Upset at God. He's probably upset at his parents. Probably upset at his brother. You ever see anybody in sin, even Christians, when they're upset, they're mad at everybody? You walk up to him and you look at him and say, I'm going the other way. God bless you. See you later. Nasty. People in sin are nasty. And he had a downtrodden spirit. It says there, his countenance fell. You know, y'all know your family. You know people that when you look at them, you know when something's not right. And this was evident. This was evident. And so, first of all, he had a downtrodden spirit. You know, sin's not going to make you happy.
Right.
Disobedience to God's not going to make you happy. Going your way, having your way. You may fight and feud to have it your way, but let me just tell you something. It doesn't make you happy. It doesn't make you happy. I want you to notice, secondly, I saw this. There was a disappointing outcome. Notice in verse 7. There was no respect from God. That's the ultimate rejection.
Yes.
You understand? I'm gonna just tell you something. When you're going through the day and you're not right with God and you're wondering what the problem is God is rejecting what you're doing. Now I talked to a guy this week, and I mean he was all over the place. But he started talking about it. He said, you in your church, you have people that same sex this and same sex that, and you hate them, and this. I don't hate them. I really don't. How do you treat them? With love. I mean, guys in here, you walk past somebody that you know they look like a woman, but that you know they're not, and you get that antenna goes up, guys. Are you understand? You understand where? And ladies, you know ladies. You know ladies that are ladies, but you know they're not natural. And we recognize that, but that doesn't. When we recognize it, shouldn't put up a wall that we don't care for them. And he couldn't believe that I said, no, we don't hate those people. We don't hate them and we don't ostracize them. And then he wanted to talk about abortion and all this stuff. And he went off on all these things. And And he said, I used to be in church, and he said, I stopped. I don't like the Bible. And then he said, I don't like the King James Bible. And I almost hit him. No, I didn't. I didn't. I said, I don't have time. We were at work. I said, I don't have time to go through this with you, but you sound to me like you're just mad at God or something. You okay? You know? He said, maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe that's it. But I want you to notice, when God, the sinner knows that God rejects what they're doing. If Satan knows that God rejects, then the sinner knows that God rejects. Why do we have to have parades and days to celebrate wickedness? It's a salve that doesn't work. You ever had a pain? You tried. You put aspirin cream on. You put Insta Hot on. You put everything on, and it just didn't go away. That's the way it's not going to go away. And Cain was rejected. When you're rejected again, there's no acceptance. I tell you, I want to be accepted by God.
Amen.
I want my life to be acceptable to God. I want the things I say and the things I do to be acceptable to God. I want people to see God through me. I don't care about I want my legacy to be, you know, God worked through that person. Jesus has to be lifted up. He has to get the glory. God has to get the glory. And so Cain knew it was not accepted. I mean, let me just tell you something. It was probably good fruit. I mean, you ever been to a place that you get good fruit? Once in a while you can get some at Safeway. Not all the time. I'm just kidding. Where do you work, James? Yeah, they don't have any. But good fruit. I told you about when I went to Puerto Rico, and I went up into the mountains, and I went up in the, and I looked in the yard, and there was a tree, and it had grapefruits on it. And you know what I said? I say nothing. I went up there and grabbed a grapefruit, opened up, stuck it in my face. I looked and there was an orange tree. I said, what'd you say? Nothing. I stuck them in. I was out there. Everybody's laughing at me. I was so sticky, you could stick me to a wall. You had to peel me off. I had to get the hose and hose myself down. I mean, for the first time in my life, I picked it off a tree instead of out of a freezer at the store. And it was good. I mean, they had coffee bean plants. We took coffee beans back to the place and roasted them and made coffee with those. I mean, grind them up and make coffee. I mean, there's nothing like it. And can you imagine it? It was wonderful fruit. It was, and he worked hard, but it was not accepted. And the world is working to be accepted and to offer all these things, but God, it's got to be God's acceptance, not what we think. I can't get over it. Every week there's an award show. Somebody's getting an award. It's almost like Little League, you know, everybody gets a participation award. When I was a kid, when I won, I looked at the other team and said, loser, I won. And I was a bad loser because I didn't have much practice. I won most of the time. And when I lost, I went and practiced because next time I was coming up against that team, I was going to put it on them. They had minor league, little league, and senior league when I was living in Elkton, Maryland, and I was in minor league, and I went and I was pitching and I was throwing it all over the place. And I got up the bat And I struck out, couldn't even hit the ball. So next morning I got up. Dad said, come on, son. So we went in the backyard. He said, okay, let me show you. And he showed me how to pitch. He said, don't look at anything but that mitt, and I want you to throw it hard. And here's how you wind up. And he took me out to the baseball field, and he says, here's how you hit. And he showed me how to step into it and everything. And a week later, we played the same team. And I don't know how it happened, but I was the same pitch. I was pitching. And I wound up through that first thing, and I hit that mitt. Pow! Everybody looked at me. Nothing. And then I couldn't wait to get up the bat, man. I was hitting the ball everywhere. You said, what happened? I was prepared. Listen. He had a disappointing outcome. Now, notice the third thing, and here's the defining moment that we face daily, several times. This is the point. It's not the point of no return, but this is the point to where we're going to get ourselves in trouble. This is the point that a lot of people that should be in church tonight are not, because they should be in church, but they're in sin. They don't come on Sunday mornings because they're in sin. You say, preacher, that's pretty strong. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you. Notice what it says there in verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? God reminds him. He says, here's the deal. You just do right.
Right.
How hard is that? Well, let me just tell you, it's against our nature. Kids, Ms. Fadike, you have to teach those kids to do right, right? My dad had to teach me to do right. I naturally did wrong. Right? I mean, I was a rascal. I worked at doing stuff wrong. I mean, if you go back Brown Street where I lived, if you could talk to some of those people and they said, Pat Creed Jr. is a preacher, they said, you're a liar. He's in prison somewhere. He's got to be in prison making license plates somewhere. God said, here's the deal. You just do right. And let me just tell you something. Doing right is a decision. It's a battle.
Amen.
It's using the noggin to think. Because just because we think it's right doesn't mean it's right. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right. God says, if you do well, then you're going to be accepted. But I want you to know, secondly, he gives the reality of the predator of sin. I don't know if you think about this, but sin is predatory. That's what it says here. When you read this verse, you don't think about this, but if thou doest well, sin lieth at the door. What's he saying? He is likening sin to a wild animal outside the door, and you have to open it to let it in. And Cain opened it and let it in.
Wow.
Amen.
1 Peter 5:8, the roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour. And let me just say, you have to open the door to get in trouble. To sin, you have to open the door.
Amen, brother.
Say, well, preacher, that wasn't a willful sin. I don't know if we can differentiate. We open the door in our actions. We open the door in our inactions.
Right.
Keep the door closed. I'm talking about your heart's door. I'm talking about your mind's door.
Amen.
Because sin is a wild animal that wants to tear you up. And Cain opened the door. Cain opened the door. And there's a response that was unheeded by Cain. Look at what this verse says. You might want to... It says, "And thou shalt have rule over him." He says, "Cain, you have a choice. You can rule over sin in your life. You didn't have to open that door. You have the choice." Open the door or leave it shut. We have that every day. Somebody says something to us that's nasty, we either open the mouth or leave it shut. I mean, we think we go to work, we think it's going to be tit for tat and this, that, back and forth. And I don't get mad, I get even. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're opening the door. See, we can't control people. I can't control what the world does. I can't control what people... I can't control what you do. But I can control what I do. Mark my word, if you get out of line with God, if you do something, you sin. And when you... I mean, we get mad at ourselves when we sin, don't we? When we do something wrong or say something wrong, we get mad at ourselves. We get disappointed. And we just... Mark my word. It's because you opened the door. You don't have to open it wide open, just a little crack. And sin gets in and tears you up. And that's what Cain was going through here. Cain made a decision. A decision to be made was not made. And he could have said, "Lord, okay." And he could have got a sacrifice like he knew to do. But he didn't. You see, when you sin, confessing it is one thing, but you got to go back and fix it. What do you mean? You got to turn this car around and go the other direction. You know, men, before GPS and everything, we hated to ask for directions. And my wife says, you think, honey, are we going right? Yeah, we're good. You know, and I've got an hour out of the way before. She can tell you every time, probably. Stubborn. When you sin, it's because you were going in a direction you shouldn't have been going. You understand what I'm saying? Because you had a thinking that should not have been in your mind. And if you don't turn around, you'll be back in the same situation. And Larry Cain could have said, "I'll take an animal and I'll sacrifice it and I'll get this thing right."
Right.
He could have done that, couldn't he?
Amen.
But he didn't. How did he get in this place? He got in this place because he was downtrodden in spirit, because he offered the wrong thing. There was a disappointing outcome and a decision to be made, and he made the wrong decision. 1 John 3:12 says this: "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." He said Cain was of the devil. Look at Luke chapter 11 with me. Let me read Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 with you. Luke chapter 11. And look at verse 37. 37, it says, "And as he spake, certain Pharisees besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner." Okay? They were picking it. They were trying to pick at something. He was talking about a ceremonial washing. There was laws, and then there was the laws of the Pharisees. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but the inward part is full of ravening wickedness. He said, You want me to clean the outside while you're wicked inside. He just started in on them. He didn't wait. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue, and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment of the love of God. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. He says, you're doing the outward works, but inside you're wicked. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Wow. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. For from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. What is he saying there? The problem is within. The problem is within. Jude 11 says this, Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in gainsaying of Korah. How did we get here? How do we get there? How do we get in trouble? We either go the way of Abel, the way of the cross, the way of God, or we go Cain's way, the way to hell. We know. We don't have to be told by the preacher. We don't have to be told by the president. We don't have to be told on the news what is right to do as Christians. We know. But when, and we will, when we do wrong, stop and turn around. That's what the word repent means. Change your mind. Don't get mad at God. If I had a nickel, Maryland, for every person told me they were mad at God, I'd be rich. People out of church. God's always right. His way is always right. His way is pure. His way is the best way. Cain had an opportunity, but he opened a door. He could have changed. He could have repented, but he didn't. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. Pray that you bless what we've heard. Challenge our hearts. May we be the Christians we need to be. May we turn around. Now, we can't do it on our own. We can change our mind, but Holy Spirit, we need your strength to guide our hearts. God, we need your word to instruct us. God, we even need friends to encourage us. But help us not to stay in the way we are. Help us not to be offensive and say, well, that's just the way I am. Lord, change us to be considerate and lovable and lovely to other people. Help us not to go the way of Cain. Help us to be acceptable in thy sight, in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart tonight, be seated. Let's have an usher come. We'll receive the evening offering. Let's give as the Lord directs. Let's pray. Father, bless the gift and the giver according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Don't forget Sunday. Missions Sunday, and our preacher will be with us, Brother Sinclair. He was a missionary in Cameroon. And he's going to be with us. You'll enjoy him, and we'll have a good time. Ladies, thank you so much for the wonderful food you brought. Let's do it again, and we'll have a good time with that, and be in your place. Invite some folks, and remember, we start in the morning, we have lunch, and then we have afternoon, and we're done for the day, and have a great missions month. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's stand to be dismissed. Good to see everybody. We're almost through the week. And we get to start another one. It just keeps recycling. Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Brother Tim, close for us. Amen. Darian,
yes,
your
sir?
Phone's still going.
Oh, man, they can hear my voice in the background. Okay, thank you.